The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 14 of season 4. If you've just joined, this is Robin from At A Tired Witch on Instagram, and I'm joined by the lovely Maria the Arcane on Instagram. Today's episode is a little different. Maria is feeling a little under the weather, so we had to record this episode a little different than usually. So there are going to be parts where perhaps it sounds like I'm by myself, and that's because I am. But Maria will be just fine in no time, so don't fret. This episode, we are also joined by Leah of the Redheaded Witch to talk about folk magic, her upcoming book, and just in general, her practice. And if you are not already a member of our Patreon, on July 22nd, so this weekend from the episode coming out, we are joined by Lilith Dorsey, the author of Water Magic and like a ton of other books, to do a class on water magic. And this is going to be for the Patreon members, library tier and up. So we hope to see you there.
So if you just joined us for this episode or haven't listened to the other episodes so far this season, in lieu of choosing a tarot card and discussing it like we were doing the previous seasons, this time we're just going over like the whole different sections of tarot. Like we've already went over the minor arcana, the major arcana, all the different suits, and now we're just working our way through the numbers. And today we are discussing the eights. So this is when we start seeing progress once again on our journeys, or we either bear witness or are completely naive to the cracks in our plans and paths. The eights are action, they are movement, or even fear of both. When it comes to progress and movement, we see this on cards like the Eight of Pentacles, which is like being hard at work to refine what we are working on. We have the Eight of Cups. When we step away from something we are emotionally attached to so that we can grow. And then we have the Eight of Wands, a power card that comes at a steep cost, which we will get to here in just a second. Then we have the Eight of Swords, which at its heart is a card of fear of making progress or even of making moves because you don't trust yourself or your abilities. If you continue on this path, it leads to nowhere. But at this stage or even at the nine, there is still time to make some changes. You can become your knight in shining armor. You can fix the problems. But if you keep letting it drag on, you won't be able to fix it. So this is definitely a warning card to keep an eye out for. The Eight of Wands, while on the surface, seems like a pretty positive card to get when it comes to movement and progress, everything that like the eights represent, actually foretells burnout. It's best to even it out and to make sure you are heading in to the situation with balance. If that is not possible, though, sometimes we do have to like exercise all of our energy in order to make something or to help something progress. But at the very least, prioritize some rest afterwards and to be able to recoup, because you will feel burnt out after this is completed. So what do you think of this card, Robin, dear?
You know, as we've talked about the last few episodes, I have very little to add to this. The one thing that I will say about eights that I don't think that you touched on is eight's ability to have boundaries. I feel like, you know, we talk about the things like strength and the kind of movement in these cards. But when we talk about things like, you know, the moon, we talk about things like the Eight of Cups, the Eight of Swords, we are seeing these boundaries both within our understanding of other people's boundaries, like in the Eight of Swords, and kind of where we're able to safely move ahead, or our own boundaries in the Eight of Cups to say, I can't do this, I'm walking away. So the only extra thing I would add is boundaries. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming lunar phases and how you can utilize those in your personal practice. Now, that being said, the nearest one from today's episode is going to be on August 1st. It is the full moon in Aquarius. And a fun fact about August is there is actually two full moons this month, which is kind of exciting. Full moon in Aquarius is, in my personal opinion, a really good time to both have the balance of the acceptance for the need of change and the strength to actually make those steps forward. You might think of like Libra when we hear this kind of energy, but I really feel like the Aquarius full moon is just such a good time to kind of focus on equality and justice, and also the inspiration that it takes to kind of have real follow through. Because while we might have these ideas kind of on the tips of our tongues, if you will, for what kind of change we need, it does take a certain kind of motivation and inspiration to actually be able to figure out how to make these steps and for the follow through. When we're talking about utilizing this moon in a magical sense, the full moon in Aquarius is a really good time to work on justice spells, to do cleansing and like literal cleaning for your home, to kind of release that old energy. If you're somebody who is really big on floor washes and window washes and just that kind of cleansing / cleaning, this would be a really good time to do that. So maybe we're going to do some cleaning of our house, getting rid of things that are holding old energy, and then doing a full-blown cleanse to kind of release that energy in a more meaningful way. Or we're going to do some spell work that is going to take our ideas and our inspirations of like the follow through that we want to see happen and kind of give ourselves a road opener to see it all the way through. So altogether, I feel like this moon is a really great time to give yourself just a kick in the pants to kind of, you know, out with the old, in with the new. So, as we talked about earlier in this episode, we have a lovely guest here today. We are joined by Leah of Redheaded Witch. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hello there. My name is Leah, and I was just telling Robin and Maria that this is my first podcast ever. So, just want to say that I am so excited to be here and so honored. I'm not very good at plugging myself, so I'm going to try and give you the rundown. So my name is Leah, and I currently live in the Pacific Northwest, but I grew up in the Appalachians, and I create content for a few platforms, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. And yeah, I talk a lot about my personal craft, which I describe as folkloric traditional practice. And I own a coffee company. It's in its first year of Folkcraft Goods, and it is my passion, my love, my baby. So yeah, I think, oh, Yep. And of course, last but not least, I just announced my first book, The Beginner Witch's Handbook. So yeah, that's a new thing that I'm like, don't forget, this is, what you're talking about. So yes, it's available for pre-order now, and it'll be on shelves September 26th.
So exciting. Yeah, congratulations on that. That's a
Thank
big
you so much. Thank you so much. Yeah. Lots of nerves, lots of excitement, but that goes into the territory, I guess, of putting your work out there. So
absolutely, yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your book? Like what people can expect when they pick it up?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in my book, I really wanted to write something with an individual who's curious about a magical path in mind. And so I explore the idea of what traditional witchcraft is and what folk magic is. For me personally, it became really natural for me to integrate my ancestral practice. So I do talk about ancestral veneration and work. An individual who might be curious of what that looks like or how to even go about it, I provide some guidance in that way and my personal approach, as well as some thought-provoking prompts, which was something that I really wanted to do to kind of inspire the reader to think for themselves and to kind of figure out what resonates with them, what mm-hmm. divinity was, what their relationship with themselves and their craft is. And then I also share about 30 rituals and spells that are beginner friendly. So
that's so good.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
That sounds really good. I think there's a lot of really good beginner books out there, but I don't feel like mm-hmm. there's enough beginner books that talk about things from our personal perspective, as opposed to just here's the information.
Yeah. I really like the fixated books on one particular introductory, thing rather than being try to wrap up, let's say, Wicca and folklore all of that in the same book.
And when I started the conversation of my first book, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, the conversations that I had with my publisher, they were really wanted me to showcase my spells and rituals, which I think is pretty common.
Yeah.
I did do my own photography of the book too. That was really important
to
me.
Amazing.
To have that creative freedom. Cause I, am a photographer. I used to be in the wedding industry back when I lived in Asheville, with it being such a wedding destination spot. Mm-hmm. But photography is just, Maria, I think you can relate to this. It's just such a beautiful form of art. And so that was really important to me. I really was trying to think of, what would I want to read at the beginning of my practice? And as I kind of started to develop my craft, and that's how I created the table of contents, and just kind of was a very organic process. I really did not know what was going to unfold. I wrote so much, and my publisher was like, you got it.
Dial it back. This is so great, and I love your enthusiasm, but if you could just take that down a couple pegs.
Right, You're like, this is great, but, because they didn't give me a workout to begin with.
Oh, really? Oh, they didn't give you any kind of goal?
They were like, so this is kind of what we've done in the past, but, whatever you think would be enough. And I was like, that's the thing. Don't give me that freedom.
Don't give me that. Yeah.
It was an amazing journey.
Especially when you're super passionate about the topic.
I would really like to see the unabridged book. Sometimes publishers take too much out. So I would rather just keep reading. Nothing is better than a witchy book that is 4 inches, thick.
Yeah. And that would have been mine if they weren't how many words are you at now? I gotta stop.
When I'm working on my second book, and I had the same conversation with an editor because they were like, hey, Robin, this is one chapter and you wrote 10,000 words. And I was like, what if we just let me do what I want and we worry about it later? Have you ever thought about that?
That was my approach. I was like, I'm going to write until they're going to tell me to stop. And
yeah,
I had my support system, you know, throughout the process to provide feedback. And I was like, is this too much? They're probably going to ask you to cut it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I know.
This is some behind the scenes for our listeners on how the publishing world works.
Yes.
So going off of you and being from Asheville originally adjacent, that general area, being from the Appalachian Mountains, how did that impact and develop your craft as you were kind of getting a really good footing in magic?
Yeah, so for some context, like I wasn't born and raised in North Carolina. I was born very close in South Carolina, but growing up, like, we moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, we moved to the Asheville area in 1998. So that was, not to give away my age, not that it matters, but that was like a significant part of my life. I was there for over 20 years. Most of my childhood that I remembered was rooted in growing up in Henderson County and Buncombe County. And, I can't speak for everyone who lives in that area of the country, but you most likely had some very religious and Christian family members. I did. And so I was raised as a Southern Baptist. I was dedicated as a baby. I was baptized, everything. But like that religion didn't really translate into my home. Like it wasn't like I was forced to like read the Bible every night, and it wasn't anything like that. And so I kind of had a little bit more of, I had, my parents kind of guiding me through like what like Christianity was and everything, but I was also I was also kind of guided to think for myself, even though my parents would take us to church, they didn't really like force too much on us. It was just what family did. So, but at a very young age, after my parents had split up, I actually grew up with my dad, who didn't continue those types of practices. He didn't have us going to church or anything like that. So that's when I started to really kind of uncover for myself of what I believed in divinity and kind of connecting to the world around me. And I was always really inspired and felt really connected to just the nature around us. Like if you visit Asheville or just anywhere in the Appalachian Mountains, like you can just feel how magical it is and just how alive it is. And that's honestly how I really found inspiration into my own spirituality and beliefs. Like I didn't even really put a name to it. Growing up, I still had friends who went to church. And I tried it, I tried Christianity and I felt really outcasted and it did not resonate with me in any capacity. So, I found some amazing friends and support system that really were, deeply rooted in the Appalachian Mountains. They knew the magic there and they were inspired by it. And so we kind of shared that together. And I would oftentimes find myself like hiking and, returning to nature in some of the most difficult moments of my life. And that's just how it kind of sparked something in me, like this is where I feel most connected. And then I found out my dad's whole side of the family is like deeply rooted in the Appalachians. Like I'm saying like Kentucky, Tennessee for like generations. And I was like, well, now that makes sense. Why, like intuitively we ended up kind of coming back, but I didn't know that. Like I wasn't, trying to find that. It just kind of, when I started to discover like my own family tree and kind of like what those roots look like, And when I discovered that so much of my dad's side of the family was like, yep, we're Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, like Kentucky, you know, I was like, this kind of makes sense why a part of me feels so at home here. And it wasn't, you know, necessarily because I grew up, but it just, it felt like it fit in a way.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
It's nice when you find these kind of connections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has been to Asheville, I completely like understand like how easy it is to wrap yourself up in Asheville. Like it's so beautiful. And
Ray wants to move there so bad.
I do. My wife and I talk about it all the time, but then we're like, moving costs. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
Getting another job. Like all these things.
It's so wonderful there. And I will also say like the community there is really wonderful too. Like I cannot tell you like how much like the friendships that I had there, like they just were amazing. And I think that was like one of the hardest things for me when I moved away was like, oh my goodness, like I am not only moving away from what I know and what I'm so familiar with, but I'm also moving away from people who have been there for me and who have inspired me and supported me. So if you do decide to take the leap and move to Asheville, I have some wonderful people to connect you with because they're lovely.
Sounds good. So speaking of which, can you tell? Oh, this is a different thing. I think we moved around the questions.
Sorry.
Maybe. I don't know. But tell us what makes a folk witch different from other versions of the craft.
Yeah. So for me, and the way that I interpret folk witchery and the craft, it's inspired by the land, inspired by the stories of the land. And, you know, oftentimes it references the folk magic of a group of people. So that can be your local community, or it can be a specific group of people. And I think this is what oftentimes inspires individuals to kind of dive into their own ancestry, to kind of, you know, explore the people before them and who kind of make them who they are today. And I do dive into ancestry more in my book and who those individuals are and kind of expand on the idea that they're not only individuals in your family tree, that they are individuals and elders and mentors in your life. And I think, you know, this really inspires the folk witch. You know, what are the ways to that these people healed? What are the ways that they harmed? You know, what are the ways that they protected? What are the ways that they, you know, connected to their past loved ones? And I think that there's a lot of inspiration when it comes to reading these stories and these ways of people in our communities and of our family. And the practice and the approach of a folk witch is so unique to the individual because a lot of the times, you know, who they are inspired by and where they live is so influential into their practice. So, you know, my practice is slowly but surely kind of transitioning because of now I live all the way across on the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And so now I'm connecting with such a different environment and, you know, plants around me. And that's usually what, you know, that has always been kind of my first approach to connecting with anywhere that I am and how I incorporate it into my craft. And so I felt really kind of, honestly, I felt kind of like displaced. I really did not know, you know, how to even kind of go about it when I first arrived because I was so, you know, I just had so much influence of the Appalachians with me. And so to begin, I really tried to find, okay, what are some familiar plants around that, you know, can guide me and that I'm familiar with? And then going to, you know, local libraries and buying books that were like, okay, here's some local plants to your area. And so, you know, all of this is going to influence a folk witch. The stories here are different. I did discover, though, that the Sasquatch is both in Appalachians and the Pacific Northwest. So Do with that what you will. Don't know why.
Listen, as somebody who is born and raised, okay, Pacific Northwest, we have the real Sasquatch. I don't know what you guys have.
I mean,
you guys have some sort of Yeti thing, but we got the real Sasquatch.
But I mean, I think it's so fascinating. And I will say too, like, when I moved here, I recognized like the lore of indigenous folks were so preserved and so alive here. Yeah. And I think that is so incredible and important. Whereas where I came from, the Appalachian Mountains, you know, they're kind of more buried. And I think that is, you know, one very significant difference that I found.
But that's interesting.
Yeah.
I would think that it would be preserved, but also I've lived in a bubble of ignorance where I live, these things have always been preserved. And like where I live, there are two tribes and they're like huge parts of our community, and they have their own community as well, and it's very well known. So
yeah, and like where I grew up in Asheville, like we have a Cherokee tribe, and so we learn about them in school. But here I just feel it's so like their voices are so more amplified, and maybe that's, you know, because I'm paying more attention. Like that is something that I learned, you know, growing up is paying more attention to those voices that do, you know, and that we're here, and the wisdom that they do share, because they are the wisdom and the healing that they passed on to the individuals in Appalachians. Like they are very much like proficient and there. And in that way, I think that they are being preserved. But the stories here that I have heard are just so, like I said, I feel like I'm paying more attention. I kind of went on a little bit of a...
Yeah, but tangent actually kind of covered our next question, which was asking about your move to the Pacific Northwest and how you've incorporated this move into your craft and what that has translated to. So you kind of covered both questions without even realizing.
I will also say, like, the approach to like a folk witch's practice, you know, it might, their tools are going to probably look a bit different. Like they're, you know, they may look to more of mundane items and tools that, you know, people use every single day, like a pair of scissors or, you know, something of that nature. And that's because I feel like for me personally, I look to what's around me and what's available. And there's an inspiration to be creative.
So to kind of shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
As you said yourself early on in our conversation, you have this new coffee business that is in its first year. Tell us a little bit about that. I know that I have enjoyed it fully.
Yes, Maria is going to enjoy it. I have not forgotten to send you some as well.
Tell us a little bit about it. Tell us what inspired it. Like, tell us about how you've incorporated coffee with magic. Just give us the lowdown.
Yeah, so coffee is really like such an important part of my craft because it's my grounding time. It is how I set my intention every single day. I was really inspired to create like my own intentional syrups when I was a barista. Shocking. And it was just like one of the ways that I can incorporate magic into my everyday. And so coffee for me is it's a grounding exercise, you know, a grounding practice, but it's also something that I feel is really does connect people with one another. Like as a barista, you know, I encountered so many people in my local community. I encountered so many people that were just passing by. And all of us were tethered by coffee, our appreciation for coffee, the enjoyment of coffee.
It's the millennial to barista pipeline.
Yeah, right. And I just like, I really appreciate that about like the being in the coffee industry and just how the conversations that I had with people, how some of them were incredibly insightful and inspiring to me, not only with my customers and people who were passing through, but also the people that I worked with. And I mean, like those people, like in my past life, or, you know, like my, you know, years ago when I was a barista, like they, I don't think they understand how much influence they had on me and just like how much inspiration that they instilled in me. But I really see coffee like that. Like, and that was one of the ways that I wanted to essentially connect with my digital community, my community here, as well as my local community. You know, I really wanted to provide something that we could all share together. And coffee is a shared love. And I knew the impact that it had on my life and how I used it in my craft and every single day. And so I wanted to be able to do that for others too.
Yeah. Well, I love coffee and I love magic. So that sounds like amazing.
Yeah. But like, not to get like too up Leah's ass, but her packaging is unreal. Like, I actually, the box that you sent me, I kept it because I'm like, I'm going to use it for something.
That's some of our old branding. And I remember like when I first started and you know, my husband designed that box. Like, he was like,
I love it.
If we're going to do it, like, we're going to go all out. And so
British. Oh my God. Listen, if I've learned anything from being married to a Brit for the last decade, this is the one thing that they all repeat. Yep. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. Yep. Shut up.
Yeah. And he just, and, you know, he, even to this day, like, because I had officially asked him to like be part of this with me, you know, and because we balance each other out so well. There's like areas that he's really good at and areas that I just flop. But he, you know, even to this day, he's like, what could we do? Like, one more. And I'm just like, can we relax? Like, one step at a time. You know, because we are in some like really exciting like planning stages for Full Craft and kind of like seeing how we can take that to the next level and really start to integrate that locally. So I'm really excited, but you got an original.
I kept the box. I'm going to use it for something. I don't know what. I don't know what I'm going to use it for. I'm like, but going back to the millennial pipeline, I am a box hoarder. I'm like, well, I might need to use this box for something. And that one's so pretty that I literally cannot bring myself to throw it away. So
My
husband's like, what are we doing with this box? When are we going to get rid of it? I'm like, we're not. So
never. Yeah, it's here forever.
Accept it, embrace it, move on.
It's part of the household items now.
Are you guys considering opening up a coffee place sometime or another?
A shop?
Ooh. Yeah, like a little witchy, like coffee shop.
So that's the idea is that was really my vision for Full Craft at the very beginning, because I used to work at a coffee shop back in the day, like when I moved to Oregon.
Was 2001.
It was 10 years ago or so. And the shop that I worked for, I really liked the fact that they had a space where like individuals could come and rent the space to like do like either a meeting or a workshop, whatever it was. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I've not worked at a coffee shop that has that space. And then the shop that I worked for back in Asheville, like they had an upstairs that you could also rent out. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I would love to be able to not only have a coffee shop, but also like a space for workshops, for like gathering people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted a space that really emphasized and celebrated other people's like craft, you know, like having their personal items in store, having, you know, whether that's like pottery or like herbalism or, you know, something of the nature, something that was really, you know, a support to the local community, because I think that is such an important, that really is, you know, a successful coffee company, in my opinion. So when I started to think about what I wanted to do with my life, which I still ask myself every single day. But I just kept going back to this idea, this coffee shop. And I mean, when I was like 16, I was like, oh, I want to own a coffee shop. Didn't really like have much thought to it. But the more that I was in the industry and the more that I identified a personal value of mine, it just made more and more sense. Mm-hmm. And so it has always been with the idea that one day this will be a physical space. It will be a coffee shop. It will have a retail space, but it will also have a space for workshops, for community gatherings, to celebrate one another and to support each other. So
I love that. See. I think that's so nice. I think like a lofty goal is a good thing to have. Like that way you're always working towards something. It's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work for sure, and I can't tell you when or anything like that, but, you know, just taking it one day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah, so one last question before we go. If you could give a beginner witch one piece of advice, what would it be?
If I could give one piece of advice, just try it, just do it, just get your hands dirty. I think I spent so much time like being scared to do anything that I was learning, and I am such a hands-on learner, like in all areas of my life. And I don't know, maybe it's like that popular saying, like fuck around and find out. Like, I don't know if I can say it on here.
You can. Yeah, trust me, this is a potty mouth podcast.
But yeah, like I just, I learned so much by doing, like all of my successes, all of my accidents, all of my failures, like that is how I learned. And I just, If you're someone who learns similarly, where you are a hands-on experience, like I want to just give you the permission to try it, to do it. So
I love it.
Love that. Because we run into that all the time. Like where they're reading, and they're so burned out on reading, but they're not doing anything. And it's like,
That's like the one question I always get too. It's like, well, how do I start? Where do I start? And I'm like, just do it, just try it.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, before we let you go, would you let our listeners like remind them of where to find you?
Yeah, so I am the Redheaded Witch, and you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And then my coffee business is Full Craft Goods, which you can also find on Instagram and also check out at fullcraftgoods.com. And then my book is called The Beginner Witch's Handbook, which is available for pre-order and on shelves September 26th.
Awesome. And all of this will, of course, be linked in our caption. If you're like, how the heck do I spell that? Look in the caption. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Maria, what's stirring your cauldron this week?
So what is stirring my cauldron is how my wife and I went to Asheville the past weekend. It was just such an amazing experience, particularly on our Sunday trip to Pisgah National Park, which is in the mountains pretty close to Asheville. Pisgah feels like so far removed from anything. I mean, I think that's really any state park, but but it really felt like it then. I mean, you have no cell phone service, which is good because, you know, we're all really attached to our phones. So that kind of like helped me keep my phone away from me, which is always nice because I always feel like I'm too connected. But, and then you're like surrounded by miles and miles of nature in like so many different forms. And we actually took Leah's advice because I was writing with her back and forth about the trip because she had lived up there. And I knew she would probably know like all the best spots to go. And so we took a trail that was on top of some of the mountains, and I wish I could describe the view to do it justice. It was pretty scary going up there. I have no problems like walking, you know, doing trails up mountains and stuff like that, but driving up mountains is terrifying. But it was well worth all the anxiety like heading up there. But you know, when we were up there, the Appalachian Mountains like surrounded us, and it was just such a beautiful and clear day. I mean, you could see for miles, and like the ground was like littered with like bits of mica, and there was so many beautiful native plants. Then before and after like leaving the trail, you have to go through some black balsams, and it just, oh my God, it smelled so good because like sap was coming like out of them and needles were everywhere, and it was so like dark and quiet. Like when you enter them, it kind of reminded me of the Black Forest in Germany. But during our adventure there, I was cleaning up trash, you know, and making sure not to disturb too much of anything. And I think like I was rewarded by doing that for the land there. When we were leaving, I actually found an orange calcite just sitting in the middle of the black balsams. And like there was no other rocks nearby or anything, and no one could have left it because very rough, not very clean, obviously, you know, came from the earth there. And I asked the spirit of place if I could take it, and got all the good tingles, and it truly felt like a gift. So I've been treasuring it and keeping it on me ever since our trip. And I'm like, I'm really counting down the days until we are able to go back up to that area again, including Asheville. I mean, there's really no other place like it. And I've lived like a bunch of different places. I mean, would I choose to go back to Germany over Asheville? Of course. But I love the vibe and of that area. It really does feel like home. I would move there easily if money wasn't an issue.
So, Robin, what is not stirring your cauldron right now?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. This week, what's not stirring my cauldron is the smoke. The smoke's back. We are at the end of July, and normally we're already smoked out. You know, when my kid was born a couple of years ago, the actual weekend that they were born was the only weekend of the entire summer that did not look like an apocalyptic film. So, I mean, I need to count my blessings that we've made it this long without there being smoke. But because the smoke is back, I'm immediately reminded of how much I hate fire season and I'm miserable. It's also like a billion degrees. I know everyone across the country is going through this. We're in this crazy heat wave. But when you mix 105 degree weather with smoke, it's like extra disgusting. I know that our friends on the East Coast are going through their first summer that I know of where there's this apocalyptic smoke. I'm sure that's not true. It's just all in the papers. So my point of reference for that is a little out of touch. So I'm sure that they are very much so over the smoke as well, especially with like humidity and everything else that happens on the East Coast. But yeah, I'm over smoke. I'm over fire season. I'd like to close that chapter permanently. So yeah. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creators that we are loving right now. These are anyone from shops, bloggers, podcasts, books, artists, just anyone that we have organically found on our own that we think are amazing and deserve a little shout out. These people are in no way an advertisement. And this season, we have requested the listeners, you all, to send us your listener submissions and people that you are just digging right now. So that being said, Maria, who are you into this week?
So I recently got the Mind's Eye Tarot by Olivia Rose, and it was produced by US Games, and it is such a cute and very weird and funky deck. Like, I really like it. I'm usually not one for a lot of color, but I think it's balanced very well. And I don't, it, like, these cards, they feel like, I don't know, like fae energy. That's definitely the energy that they give off. And I don't know. I really like them. And I think like the deck itself is really well made. I think US Games have stepped up a lot when it comes to the quality of their decks. Like the edges are gilded and the cardstock is phenomenal. But I really did like them, and I highly recommend checking them out. I mean, Olivia is such an amazing artist anyways, so like having a whole deck full of her art is an absolute dream. So who have you been loving?
So the creator that I'm loving this week is an artist called Steph Buscema. She is a painter, and these very specifically what like I got drawn to are these planchettes that she's painted like vintage or I guess antique memento mori style skulls with wings and crossbones on them. They're just like absolutely stunning. I really want one, and I think they're so pretty. She does a bunch of other stuff, and like some of her planchettes she's done have like little pumpkins and stuff on them, which is so cute. But I think it's really cool. And what I was looking at when I was looking like at her stuff is she does a bunch of stuff. Like she does a bunch of things. It looks like maybe she does a tarot deck, which is pretty cool. The Silver Acorn Tarot, which I think Maria actually recommended on this podcast before. So it just, I think it's really cool. I think that all of this is very neat, and I'm really glad I found them. Now, that being said, our listener submission, I am very afraid of butchering this name, so I'm going to do my best, but please remember that the caption will have this spelled out for how to find them, and if I have pronounced this totally wrong, I truly apologize. The artist's name is Emmanuel Jobidon, I believe is how you pronounce it. I could be very wrong. And they do this really cool thing where they basically kind of, at least looks like they do transfers onto skulls, like animal bones, jaws, skulls, etc., and then ornate them with like gilded gold and stuff like that. They describe themselves as weaving life and death in art, and I think it's really beautiful. And for anybody who does work with bones or death as like a concept, I really think this is very neat. So I'm loving this listener submission. Thank you so much for sending it to us. Maria and I both were like jaw on the floor. So cool. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope that we will see you again on Friday, July 28th for our Coffee Talk episode, or on August 4th for the 15th episode of Season 4. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we are up to. Don't forget to join us on Patreon July 22nd for our class with Lilith Dorsey, author of Water Magic, for a class that is on water magic. This will be at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers a special 25-minute part 2 episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft. We have a ton of spells on there. Last I checked, we're almost actually at 400 articles, which is crazy. A Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have a tier that offers one-on-one conversations and mentorship with me, Maria. If you are loving our wonderful, sexy, sensual voices, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. Thank you to everybody who already has and everyone who will join in the future. We really appreciate you. Additionally, a special shout out to all of our Patreon members who have joined. Those new and those old, we appreciate you so very much. And we actually just recently increased our Witches First Coven tier, so that way there's more slots for people who really want to be a part of the Discord community. So we hope to see you there. So again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons with Robin from At a Tired Witch on Instagram, and I'm joined by Maria of Maria the Arcane on Instagram. This will be weird to do by myself. But one... 2, 3, bye, witches!